Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There are certain mysteries that God gave us, things that He unfolded in the Old Testament that we didn't know about. And I think there are certain mysteries now, things that are happening that when we see the mysteries, we're going to go, oh, that's what it was.
The Bible is full of mysteries. Some of them we might have an idea about, others we just have no clue until we go to be with Jesus and all things are revealed to us. Jesus living inside of the believer is called a mystery in the Old Testament. Can we understand it? No, but we still trust and give thanks to God that He has made us worthy. With part two of our study in Revelation chapter 10, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
About a year ago, I read a book by Bart Ehrman. He's a New Testament theologian who's not a Christian. He's a critic. And I like to read books, listen to podcasts that are out of my lane. People that don't think like me, just because I want to hear what other people are thinking and saying. So I wanted to read his book on heaven and hell. And in the very beginning of talking about the afterlife, he said the Old Testament does not contain anything about the afterlife. There's so much in the Old Testament about the afterlife. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, Job said, I know my Redeemer lives and one day I will stand with him upon the earth. David said, I know you will not let my soul be in Sheol. And here there's a resurrection of those who are with Christ and those to everlasting contempt. And it doesn't matter to me where you put the rapture of the church. Sometimes people will say to me, well, I don't believe in a rapture. Well, you should, because it's biblical. You have 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that talk about the dead in Christ rising first, that's the resurrection, and then those who are alive and remain being changed, and our bodies being changed to glorified bodies. It doesn't matter to me where you put the tribulation. If you're post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, welcome, it's great, it's all good, all right? Pre-wrath, whatever it is that you are, it doesn't matter to me. But God's going to do something with the people who are alive, who are followers of Christ, when the dead are resurrected. And here we have a resurrection in the book of Daniel. Now it goes on to say, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal this book until the time of the end. It reminds me of John being told to seal up these words, let the seven thunders uttered. It says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. He's now telling us what life is gonna be like on the earth from the time of Daniel until the end. Many are gonna run back and forth on the earth and knowledge is going to increase. This is a prophecy and knowledge is increasing at such a rate today that by the time you can implement the knowledge that we have, the new technologies we have, they're outdated. By the time it takes us to implement them, there's something that's already better than what that is that's already come along. Knowledge has increased, just as he said. He goes on to say, then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on that other riverbank, so on each side of the river. The one said to the one man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters on the river, when he had held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. We're going to see the angel in Revelation 10 do the same thing. He's going to swear to God, just like this angel does, that it shall be for a times, times, and a half of times. That's 3.5 years. Before the parentheses that we're in is done in chapter 11, it talks about the two witnesses being given authority to speak in Jerusalem for 3.5 years. So there just is a lot of similarities. It goes on to say now time, times, and a half a time. And then it says, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things will be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said to my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said to me, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So he's told, don't worry about this. This isn't for you. Wait until the time of the end. Now, I read that to you because of the similarities with chapter 10. They look like they're the same. Do I think they're the same event? No. Could it be a vision of the same event? Because I think Daniel had a vision. John had a vision. They're not seeing these real events happening. They're seeing visions that are giving them information. So it could be the vision of the same event. Here's where it talks about the 3.5 years. In Revelation 11:2, it says, but leave out the court, which is outside of the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, for they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And you find throughout Daniel and the book of Revelation that this tribulation period is divided into 7 years to 3.5 year periods. And then the last chapter in the book of Daniel adds another, 40 or 41 days? And so that drives people crazy. People try to figure out what those next 40 or 41 days is. And I've never heard anything good as to what people think that might be. So then in verse 5, now let's go back to Revelation. Verse 5, we go back to this angel. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever. That's like the angel did in the book of Daniel, who created heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay no longer. So let's first of all talk about what the angel swore. I swear by the God who created everything, there will be no more delay. There have been all kinds of delays since Daniel was told to seal it up. There will be no more delays. From here on out, 3.5 years, it's going to be finished up. God's wrapping things up. There's going to be no more delay. That's the purpose for this angel. Now, another reason I believe this cannot be Jesus is because he swore by him who created heaven and earth and the things in it. Listen to what Colossians 1, 14 through 16 say. And this Sunday, we talked about an old Christian creed, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. This is another creed. It starts, I think, in verse, in verse 14, but you can go back and you can look at this. It's another creed that talks about, it's got high Christology and tells us who Christ is. It was getting things right, and this is something they memorized. So Colossians 1, 14 through 16 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. Now the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you, this means he was created first and then created everything. That's not what firstborn over creation here is. It's the right of the firstborn. The firstborn child had the right of the firstborn and could inherit everything. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians that Jesus inherits it all and that we are co-inheritors with him. It goes, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. So Jesus created everything we see and us, and also the principalities of powers. Listen to the names he gives to the invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So I don't see Jesus being the one holding the scroll swearing by himself. I do know there is a place where God swore to himself because there was no one greater for him to swear to, but I just don't see that connection here, and I don't think that this angel is Jesus. I'll say I'm leaning away from that, right? Then verse 7, but the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, and he declared to his servants and prophets. Okay, so the angel continues on, right? And he says, in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. This gives us some more information. There's not just a day when the seventh trumpet sounds, but it's the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. There are those who believe that the rapture of the church takes place at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Here's their thinking. It's said that there is a last trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15, a last trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the last of the seventh trumpets, so it must be the return of Jesus. That's a weak connection. Just because there's a last trumpet in a series of trumpets doesn't mean it's the last trumpet spoken of in Corinthians or in 1 Thessalonians. What was a trumpet used for in their day? Two things. Gathering together troops or people. If you were in a city and you heard a trumpet sound, you knew there's an announcement to be made. And in the days they were living, you better go hear that announcement. And a trumpet was used to send signals in battle. So if you were in battle, one trumpeter would fire off one thing and would know what to do. And we've seen that why the seven angels are sounding their trumpets. There's certain things that go forth and happen, like the directing of a battle. The last trumpet will be the last trumpet of the church because we will be in the presence of God. And there are other trumpets after this trumpet in the book of Revelation. So this isn't the last trumpet ever, right? Now, let's look at what he says here. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mysteries of God would be finished. There are certain mysteries that God gave us. Things that he unfolded in the Old Testament that we didn't know about. And I think there are certain mysteries now. Things that are happening that when we see the mysteries, we're going to go, oh, that's what it was. Let me give you some examples of mysteries the Bible talks about. The ultimate conversion of Jewish people is called a mystery in Romans 11:25. Here's what it says. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So all of Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. God's purpose for the church is called a mystery in Ephesians 3:3-11. That is what God had for us as a church to do, was a mystery you couldn't find in the Old Testament, but was unveiled as he laid out the church. The living presence of Jesus in the believer is called a mystery in Colossians 1:27-3. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The idea that your body would be the temple of the Holy Spirit was a mystery in the Old Testament. And now what an amazing mystery. The temple was the place where God dwelt. But now Christ dwells in us. No wonder it says Christ, the hope of glory, dwells in us. In Colossians 4:3, we're told the gospel is a mystery. So there were these mysteries, and all of these mysteries, even the ones we don't know about now, are going to be completed. So there will be no more delay, and all the mysteries that are out there are going to be finished up. Then in verse 8, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and I said to him, give me the little book. And I got to think, if I'm in this midst of this vision and this angel looks like this angel looks like, and the voice from heaven says, go get the book from the angel. I'm like, excuse me, sir, could you please give me the little book? A voice told me from heaven to ask you for the little book. But John's just like, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. I think we get those prophecies in the rest of the book of Revelation. And it's pointing out here that he has received it and then he has given it. That's God's word in our lives. We receive God's word, we take it in, and then we give it back out. And just like it was sweet and bitter to him, it is sweet and bitter to us. There are parts of the scriptures that we read, like Psalms 23, that is sweet. You read it, you know, how many people say that's my favorite passage? My mom to this day will tell me, I love Psalms 23, it's my favorite passage in the Bible. But there's also bitter parts. Parts where we read it and go, I don't know that I'd do it that way. Which shouldn't surprise you because God said that he's not a man. He doesn't do things like people do. Some is bitter and some is sweet. And he's got some sweet and bitter things to tell them to receive from God. And God's word has sweet and bitter in it as well. And we receive all of it as the truth. 1 Peter 2:1-2 talks about us eating the word of God. Listen to what it says. Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And I love just that little list there. Let me read it again. Therefore, laying aside all malice, that's the desire to do someone harm, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we want the milk and the meat of the word of God that we can grow by. And some of it will be sweet and some of it will be bitter, but it will all be true. Now, three things in closing. Number one, there are mysteries we don't know. Things are going to be revealed in the end times. And there are parts of the end times, no matter how much we've studied the Bible, that we don't know. And the sounding or the speaking of the seven thunders reveals that to us. And again, that means there's nobody who's a know-it-all. There's nobody that knows everything. We all are in the process of growing and learning and wanting to be true to what the Word of God says for each one of us. Number two, the revealed things come to us through the Word of God. If the secret things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us through the law, it says, it is through God's Word. I find myself at the age that I am now, in the time of life that I am now, doing what I do, wishing that I would have spent more time learning more about the Word of God in the past. I feel like I've wasted time when I could have really been learning it more. And I want to, you know, true repentance is when you repent. I want to dive into God's Word more now for how many ever more years God gives me, that I would just be faithful in learning more and more of the Word of God. And I think, what a thing if you're young and you say, I really want to learn God's Word inside and out. I want to study it and find it all. And if God gives you more time, what a great thing for us to do. Number three, God's Word can often be sweet and bitter. There are times when I read God's Word and I go, I don't necessarily like that. And I'll even say that when I'm teaching it. What did I teach a couple of weeks ago? We were teaching, it was out of Revelation, I guess. And I said, if I was invited to speak at a church, I would never choose this passage. I would never go, open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. Let's get into a war that kills a third of mankind. There are things that we read that are just bitter. But there are things that we read that are sweet. But they are all true. And there's a reason for it. And I think that God is so holy. The Bible says that in him, there's not even a shifting of shadows. And I think our hearts are dark. And so we don't really see everything that goes on. And sometimes when we go, I don't know why God's doing it that way. I wouldn't do it that way. All right, well, we understand that. Because God's holy and pure, and we're not. And what he will do will be right in the end. It will always be right in the end. Even when it's hard for us to read, the sweet and the bitter together is the word of God. And one day we will have a good understanding of it. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that you give us this revelation of this angel who swears by the one who created everything that there will be no more delay and all the mysteries of God will be revealed. Thank you that you haven't told us everything, that there are these seven things that the thunder said that we don't know what they are. We don't have any idea. We don't even have any clues in what direction it could go. There was nothing in the text that gave us any of that. But we know there is a time for us that we might be able to see what's going to happen, even as it's unfolding. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. The Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, old things pass away, and everything becomes new. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. He didn't say, if you want to be my disciple, I'm going to make everything great in your life. He said, follow me, lay down your life. The life that you now live, you live for him. It's not about us inviting Jesus into our story. It's about us leaving our story and going into God's story and saying, I want to be who you want me to be. I want my life to be in your plan and in your purpose. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. but if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. So if you're here today, you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe you made a commitment years ago, but you didn't follow through, and you know you need to make it right, then I'm going to ask you to do something boldly, and that's to raise your hand right where you are. I want to pray with you as you surrender your life to Christ. God bless you, sir. That's great. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got something for you to do. God bless you. And God bless you, sir, all the way to the left. That's great. You are his workmanship, the Bible says, created for good works in Christ. He's got something for you to do. You can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, and sir, I saw your hand off to my left as well, but I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you, but I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I want to be your disciple. I want to be a follower of Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That is awesome. Now listen, for those of you who raised your hand, there is a new believers table that's out by the foyer. We have a Bible and new believers packet we want to give you. It's just information on what it means to begin to live for Christ now. We want to help you out any way that we possibly can. All right, now I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that during, you know, as again, Israel's going crazy now, right? And the Third World War, I do believe, is going to happen out of Jerusalem. The Bible says that God will make Jerusalem a couple trembling around the neck of the world. And I think it's this conflict. As we're living in these times, I just want to pray that we would be able to live for Christ brightly, shine for him. People around us could see Christ. This could just be another little birth pain, right? Jesus might not come back for 50 years. Nevertheless, we want to serve him and live for him solidly for those 50 years. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands, and I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for all of those here today as we lift up our hands before you, made holy by the blood of the Lamb, and thank you that you have forgiven us and made us right with you. And Lord, we pray that we could live for you in front of our family, friends, coworkers, and acquaintances, that we would be the light you've called us to be, the salt that would make a difference. Thank you that we have opportunities to share, and we pray that you would open up doors for us to be able to step through and share the gospel with those around us, because we're sure there are many who've never heard the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.